Amen. God is good. All the time, and all the time, God is good. We're blessed to be here tonight, and we're thankful for God waking us up, or God allowing us to come into this house of worship to give Him all glory and honor and praise. It's only because of God that we live and we move and we have our very being. So we're grateful to be here tonight and thankful to God, first of all, for this chance to just be alive on tonight. It's a blessing and a privilege. And we are thankful for your presence tonight to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're thankful to Brother Gary Smith for this fortuitous planning that this day to have me to speak tonight. Always on the 8th of the month is a significant day because June 8th, I was married. So 3 months would be 8 years of marriage, and it was actually at this facility that happened. So that's why I say it's fortuitous that he's planned it for this evening, because I guess it's kind of, you get little goosebumps because you remember that this is the place, you know, if things don't go well here, then, well. Acts chapter 9. And we pray that he will recover quickly from the surgery and will be back in worship real soon. Acts chapter 9, verse 36 through verse 39. We appreciate the brothers for the worship that has been rendered so far preceding me. The Bible says, at Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated Dorcas. Just rereading this for emphasis' sake. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. We want to talk about as a subject for tonight, an example of a superior servant. Or you could say an example of a dedicated disciple. There's a song that we sing called A Beautiful Life, where the words are, each day I'll do a golden deed by helping those who are in need. My life on earth is but a span, so I'll do the best I can. Life's evening sun is sinking low, a few more days and I must go to meet the deeds that I have done, where there will be no setting sun. Some people don't like that song. You wouldn't think that nobody would not like that song, but some people don't like that song because they think it is propagating that you have to work your way to heaven. I was just looking on YouTube, and someone's believed that theory. And we do understand that we don't work to be saved, but we work because we are saved.
Amen.
But that our life ought to be a life that speaks to the goodness of God.
Amen.
Our life ought to be such a life that people can see. And the song talked about send the light, but we are the light.
Amen.
We are the salt of the earth. We are a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. We are the hands and the feet that God will use.
Amen.
But I want to, for a few minutes, And, you know, we do have a Bible example in the Bible of a preacher preaching to midnight. We do have book, chapter, and verse. It says, and he continued his speech until midnight, Acts 20 and 7. We do have Bible for that. I don't know if who would still be here if I preached till midnight, but we won't be till midnight. But we want to look at for a few minutes Tabitha or Dorcas. Tabitha, the word or the name means gazelle. It's a word or Dorcas, and Dorcas was full of good works. And I want all of us, I want you to, instead of Tabitha, I want you to insert your name. Well, verse 36 is, and what would God say about you? God said about Tabitha, it was said that she was full of good works. She was abounding in good works. She was living such a life that her works spoke for her. What would God say about you? See, she lived a purposeful life. If we are servants of God or disciples of Christ, our life should have purpose. Amen. Our life should have passion. We don't just exist just to exist, right, but we exist to make a difference in the world. Tabitha, and let me say this, Tabitha's life was so great in that her eulogy was spoken of before she died. Many times people want to hear a eulogy about someone when they die. And I don't, you know, mean any harm. Well, I don't. But sometimes when people die, you hear things seemingly about them that weren't when they were living. It seemed like a lot of different things are said about them after they died, and they're spoken well of. But Tabitha was spoken well of before she died. Her life was such that she lived in such a way that she glorified God because of the tunics that she made and the garments that she gave. And she was her service was of such that she glorified God. So her life had purpose. Every one of us, it's so much to do in the Lord's church. There's so many ministries. There's so much that can be taken. There's so much that we can do as servants of God and disciples of Christ. We just have to find our part in the body. There are no bench warmers in the body of Christ. There's no pew sitters. There's no fence sitters. Everybody has to get in the game and play their part. And Dorcas, here was a woman, and this is another thing I love, is that God does, whatever you do, God doesn't forget. Amen. Now, sometimes, I don't know, maybe you're different than me, but sometimes you think about why people don't say anything when you do certain things. You may sweep, and you may clean, and you may do good things, and it seems like it goes unnoticed. But it seemed like the only people that get noticed are the preacher and the song leader. Wait. But Dorcas, God remembered her work. See, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, Hebrews 6:10 says, God is not unrighteous to forget your work and your labor of love that you show toward the saints. God does every kind deed, every good deed that we do does not go unnoticed by God. So if people don't see it, God sees it. If you don't get ever in the bulletin, God saw it. If you do good works, if you're in a ministry, if you're doing things for God, even though people may never say anything about it, God still sees it. But it says in verse 37, it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room. And since Lydda was near Joppa and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. As I said earlier, they had evidence of what she did while she was with them. But then we want to look at not only her purposeful life, but the power of God. Her life had purpose, but God also had power. And God shows his power. This is going to be a miracle that is shown by God to show, to confirm, to attest to what he was going to do and confirming his word and confirming these things. And if we go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1 through verse number 4. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 1 through verse number 4. The Bible says, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Amen. So these miracles were done to attest and to confirm the word of God. Amen. And here we're going to see that God is going to raise. They think that it's over with because Dorcas has died. But God has a way of working in a hopeless situation. He can make hope. When a situation seems to be stinking, God can make it smell great. When a situation is hopeless, God can make great things happen. And here he has a woman who's lived for him, a saint who's lived for him, and she's going to be resurrected. It says in verse 40, but Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa. And many believed on the Lord.
Amen.
Now, somebody right now might be saying, God don't work like that anymore. And I understand that God is not going to use my sinful hands to raise somebody and they're going to have breath in their body. I know that God is not going to use man to do certain things today, as far as hands-on healing, as far as these things. And if man could do that, MD Anderson would be empty. St. Luke's would be empty. Texas Children, they would be empty if man, and these faith healers, whatever you want to say about them. But God still has power.
Amen.
God still can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or even think.
Yep.
And so God is moving in the life of Dorcas. He's moving to show that he's showing his power in her life.
Right.
And God still has the same. He still can do more than we ask or think if we have faith in him and trust in him.
Amen.
And when we're servants of God and servants of Christ and live for Christ, he can do great things in our lives.
Amen.
But when I notice it said that it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. See, this was done, this was shown, and many turned to the Lord after this was done. Because God wants us to be used by him. He wants to show what he can do in our lives. And he showed it in the life of Dorcas. But even when I look at Dorcas's life, if there's someone, even if you are not in Christ, you're going to have to be raised. Now, Dorcas or Tabitha, this was a special, and you know, then you find even there was another good man in Acts chapter 10 about Cornelius. And he was a man who had a faith, a sincere faith. It wasn't a saving faith. But God was showing that there are people who know me, who trusted me, and I can help them to be saved. I can help them to know me better by how I live through them. Amen. But not only Dorcas was raised, if you're going to be saved, you got to be raised.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6, verse 1 through 4 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that as many of us as were raised with Christ." If you are not raised with Christ, you're not saved. In the story even of Dorcas, it shows that with her being raised, and if you are not, there's a spiritual resurrection that takes place in baptism. As many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him in baptism, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So, and I'm gonna steal Brother Gary's phrase. You know, he would like to say that he's talking to the soldiers tonight. So I guess what I'm saying really doesn't resonate, maybe, because these are strong Christians here tonight. These are the Christians here tonight that if Chance the Rapper was across the street, we'd be in here. If Beyonce was across the street, we'd be in here. Everybody would be in here if Beyonce was across the street. These are strong Christians here tonight. But if you have not been raised with Christ, if you have not been baptized, you have not had that spiritual operation that takes place, that God says it takes place in baptism. So we have to be raised. And when we're raised, we put off that old man. We put on that new man. We take off bitterness and malice and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking. And when we're raised and God gives us the fruit of the Spirit, we have love and we have joy. We have long suffering. We have gentleness. We have goodness. We have temperance. We have meekness. We have faith. We are walking in the Spirit.
Amen.
You don't just become a Christian and just exist, and you're just ordinary and mediocre.
Right.
Once you obey the gospel,
amen.
Peter would say you have to add to your faith. Amen. You got to add some. You got to add. It's about seven graces. He says, if you do these things, you'll never fall, but you'll receive a rich welcome into the everlasting kingdom.
Amen.
What kind of servant are you? Only you can answer that question. Would your works, would the things that you do attest to the goodness of God? What would God say about your life? You know, the poet writes, "All we have is just a minute. Just 60 seconds, and it forced upon me, I cannot refuse. I did not seek it, either choose it, but it's up to me to use it. I will suffer if I will abuse it, give an account if I abuse it. It's a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it." We don't have much time. Our time is winding down.
Amen.
Our time is so short. Life is like a vapor. It appears for a little while, then it vanishes away. But I know that there are a lot of great servants here. And all I was just doing was encouraging you to continue to be the servants Doesn't matter. You don't have to be the preacher. You don't have to be the soul leader. You don't have to be the elder. You don't have to be the deacon. You can be just a great servant. You could be a sister that serves, that takes, you know, opens your home up for a Bible study, opens your home up for a ministry, for the singles, whatever. You are doing a great work. You don't have to be the leading, I'm about to say leading brethren, that ain't Bible, but you don't have to be the lead, you don't have to be the leaders per se to be a great servant. To be a superior servant. If there's somebody here tonight that happens to not be a Christian, you've not been baptized, the facts of the gospel is that Christ died for our sins.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, and which also you received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. How I delivered unto you, first of all, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures."
Amen.
If you're willing to believe that gospel and are baptized into Christ, you repent of your sins and you're baptized into Christ, the Lord will add you to his body. In Acts 2:38, they heard the first gospel sermon. They heard how Jesus was crucified, how they hung him on the cross and these things. And they asked Peter, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And it says they continued and they continued in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and all these good things. And all of this happened after the first gospel sermon was preached, in fact. So if you need to be baptized tonight, if you're not in Christ, if you've not been baptized, it's a wonderful day to do that. If you need prayer, there are elders here who will pray for you if you need prayer, or if you need to repent of sin. Whatever you need to do, we'd urge you to come as we stand and sing the song of invitation.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and